This portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Fear Free. Fear Free takes the pet out of petrified and puts the treat into treatment. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.
It is Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. We'll head back to the phones for your calls. Free calls, toll free, 1-866-405-8405. And don't forget, you can also ask your questions from the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. And we welcome to the show for the Fear Free series, Dr. Lisa Radosta. She is the owner of the Florida Veterinary Behavior Service. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
What causes fear and anxiety and stress in our pets? What kind of things?
Well, so the short answer is the unknown. What will happen to me if I go into that building that smells like cleaner or smells like scared dogs? And then the known, things that hurt without explanation and without effort to mediate them. So let me give you the long answer,
okay.
Right? So the first time that your dog goes, or your kitty, we can't forget about kitties, or your bunny, your pet goes into a veterinary hospital, most of those pets are naive to what will happen. They're pretty open. Well, she seems nice. She's wearing a white coat, but she seems like a pretty nice person. I'll let this experience happen. But once we poke them and prod them, even in the name of helping them, they realize that we're probably up to no good. And unless there's no effort, or even if there's just a little effort but not enough effort, to mediate that fear, that can grow. And it can really snowball very quickly. Most of the pets, and this is absolutely my observation, but I'm here also to talk to you about science. The studies that have been done in cats and dogs show that most, we're talking 80%, most for sure, are afraid at the veterinarian, want to leave immediately after the exam is done or the vaccines are done or the tests are done. So part of fear-free is about alleviating that fear. And then there's a whole nother segment, which we're going to talk about this year. Starting in August, we began talking about having and helping people to make their homes fear-free.
Yeah.
And if you can imagine, you know, imagine that you do not speak the language. And that's not that hard to imagine if you've traveled to a different country. So you don't speak the language. And if you could put yourself into that place, there's a little bit of anxiety there. How will I communicate? I want you to add to that then, not just that you don't speak the language, but you're from a different planet.
Yeah.
So you don't look the same. You don't sound the same. And you don't understand at all the sounds that are coming out of the mouth of the person across from you. And then imagine that person, even out of the goodness of their heart to help save your life or to help prolong your life, hurts you. And if you could just go through those steps, you'll get it.
Yeah, I totally get that. What I don't understand is, so they're a little scared, so they're a little stressed. How does that really affect them?
Oh, that's a great question. So when you are scared, you, myself, dogs, cats, bunnies, horses, when animals are scared, there's a physiologic stress response. That is outside of their control completely. And that starts in the brain, and the neurotransmitters in the brain control that entire body. And that starts in a nanosecond, and that entire cascade occurs in seconds. And so that feels like a tight chest, a stomach that's upset, tense muscles, panting, a heart that's racing. So we want to say, oh, no, you can get over it. But when it's physiologic, it's not a get over it moment. Mm-hmm. It's a moment where we have to do something external to help the pet get over it, quote unquote.
Will going into stressful situations often wear down an animal? Will it cause them problems in the long run?
Yes, it will. And I would like you to think about if you worked at a job you hated and there was no way you could get out. It's outside of your control. And every day you went, and think about just how emotionally stressed you would be. And again, we go back to the neurochemical stress response, which snowballs into a chronic stress response. And yes, it beats them down. What we see is that these kiddos, these little furry kids, have a shorter fuse, let's call it. Especially at the veterinarian's office, it takes less and less and less for them to act as if they are fighting for their lives or to hide under the chair or to urinate or defecate on themselves. Absolutely. And chronic stress in the home setting has certainly been linked to other emotional disorders in pets, but also to suppression of the immune system and to some dermatologic problems. So we want our pets to live happy lives as much as we want ourselves to live happy lives.
Well, what's one simple thing we can do to reduce the fear, the anxiety, and stress in our pets?
One simple thing you can do, if I had to choose just one, I would say understand your pet's body language better. Because our biggest fault as pet parents, as veterinarians, as veterinary care professionals, is not reading the dog or the cat properly. Hmm. It's not looking and knowing how often, I cannot tell you, countless times, I have sat with an owner and said, your dog's tail is tucked. That means he's scared. And that person has said to me, really? And the clients that come to see me are fantastic. These are not people who don't care about their pets. They love their pets. They just have no clue what those fear signals are. So if I had every pet parent could read their pet well, they would be aware. And awareness is always the first step, isn't it, when you have a problem to solve.
We've been talking about creating veterinary offices that are fear-free. That's been pretty much heavily our focus over the last year. But there's a brand new program, part of Fear Free. It's called Fear Free Happy Homes, where we're trying to make the home lifestyle fear free without the anxiety, without the stress. Give us a couple of hints of what we can do to make our home fear free.
That's really important, because I want to preface it with, if your home isn't fear free, that doesn't mean you're a bad pet parent, right? Okay. We all have the places in our lives where we lack knowledge, and this might be a place for a pet parent to grow and help their pets. So number one, enrichment. And cats especially, enrichment, enrichment, enrichment. Because I'm a runner, for example, and if I don't get to run, my family actually brings out my running shoes and pushes me to run, because they tell me that my attitude is poor. Let's just put it that way. They have some descriptors for it that I won't share here. But I need that enrichment, and cats and dogs need that as well. Every age, every breed, every species can have an enriched life. So that's number one, first and foremost. Number two, manage your expectations of your pet. I have a wonderful dog. He's amazing. He's the love of my life. He doesn't like to be hugged. He doesn't bite me when I hug him, but when I hug him, his whole body freezes. He's like, oh gosh, he's doing it again. No way. So part of making that home fear-free is saying, you know what? It's all right. I could hug the cat. It's fine. I don't have to do that to you if that's something that you don't enjoy, which goes back to an awareness of the body language of your pet. And then I think the third thing we can do is to stop feeding into the myth that it has to be adversarial, right? That you have to listen to me or what? For example, my own pet, again, Maverick, needs ear medication. And so I put them in each night. This is our second week. He hates it. He runs from me. So I have the option. Because he's a good enough dog, I could walk over there and I could make it happen. But what I do is I go to the treat jar. I always start every medication session with a handful of tiny treats. And I have a 9-year-old, so there's goldfish in the treat jar, popcorn, everything she doesn't eat, I throw into the treat jar. So I take a handful. And I put it on his bed. And yesterday, he looked at it, he looked at me, and he took off. So I said, all right, Maverick. So I picked up the treats, I calmly walked over. I put them on the floor between his feet again. He looked at me, and he knew what I was up to because I had the bottle, and he ate a couple treats, and I put the ear medication in. And then when we were done, we headed to the kitchen for peanut butter. So what I will say to clients is, I'd like you to do this. And sometimes they'll say back to me, hey, but my dog's okay. I can do it. And I always say, it's not about what you can do. It's about what you should do, what's right to do. Why not make it pleasant? Where's the downside to making it pleasant? So it took me 60 seconds to follow him calmly, to put the treats down between his legs again, to wait till he was eating, and then to start with the ear meds. One extra minute, who cares? In my life, that's a drop in the ocean. But I made it pleasant instead of unpleasant.
Very good.
Great stuff. And we're going to put all of this over at animalradio.pet. Of course, you can check out fear-free, fearfreepets.com and fearfreehappyhomes.com. And, of course, links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.pet. This is part of our fear-free series, all of this series over at animalradio.pet. So if you missed one, you can check it out over there. Dr. Lisa Redosto, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and thank you for the wonderful work you're doing with spreading the news that we can make pets have happier lives.
This portion of Animal Radio was underwritten by Fear Free. The veterinarian isn't typically thought of as your pet's favorite place to go. With Fear Free, that all changes. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.